Well, God bless everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to share, and sure love all of you. So, yes, as God said in the manifestations, we live in a real dark world, and I think we can all agree that we're in some pretty crazy times. In fact, I think we can all agree that in our entire lifetime, each and every one of us hasn't experienced things like this. And, you know, one of the overwhelming aspects and elements of all that has just, I think, accumulated is that there's an overwhelming sense of uncertainty. And if you just listen to people's hearts and just, you know, the news and, you know, as Bob was saying, just things we see and hear, it's just a tremendous sense of uncertainty. And, you know, the question is uncertainty in regards to what? You know, our jobs, our families, our health. Really, if you narrow it down, it's an uncertainty about the future. And see, that's just it. As believers, as lights, you know, as God said in the manifestations, we don't have to be uncertain about our future. In fact, God has not only given us tremendous revelation about our future, but he also has made it a very, very wonderful thing to look forward to. And that's what I want to share on tonight. I want to share on the future of the believer. If we look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11, this is a very popular verse in Christian circles. A lot of teachings and sermons on how you know, God has plans for us and for our lives and so on. But I want to focus on the very last part of the verse. It says, Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So we don't really have to guess about what's coming. And, you know, we've heard tremendous teachings, you know, through our lives as Christians on and off about the hope of the return. And that's, you know, that's obviously, that's what we, you know, we bank on that. But what makes it the hope? What is it when Jesus comes back that is going to make it so special? Is he just going to come get us and say hello and that's it? We see him for a little bit, things like that. No, not at all, obviously. Tremendous events are going to take place from that moment on. And sometimes as Christians, we need to remind ourselves of those actual events. And that's what I'd like to do tonight. I'd like to share some of those things. Have you ever watched a movie that has, you know, kind of a suspense type plot or an action movie? You're just kind of on the edge of your seat because you want to see how it ends. You know, maybe a little anxiety and so on. And, you know, you want to see if it's a happy ending or, you know, or whatever, you know, bad ending, whatever it's going to be. You know, and then, but then let's say, you know, you watch it a second time through, you know, a couple years later. You're not quite as anxious because you know exactly what's going to be going on in the end. And see, that's what God's given us in his word. He's given us what we can know and understand as we go through things, you know, such as we're facing nowadays, to know that we have, you know, something to look forward to. You know, so we've got an election coming up. We've got all these things that people are banking on. But as a believer, we have to remember that our citizenship is not here. We're Americans or, you know, whatever, you know, our citizenship might be from whatever country, but we have to remember our real citizenship is in heaven. So let's look in Philippians chapter 3, We're going to look at verse 20. And it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." Now, when we're born in the United States or wherever, the government issues us a birth certificate. But when we're born again, we're issued a whole new birth certificate, an eternal one. And who issues that one? God Almighty. We are now part of His family. Okay, let's read on. So our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. So that's the first thing that's going to happen when that trumpet blows and we're gathered together. So here's the first thing on the list. We get a new body. Now, it's going to be like His body. So it's going to be a spiritual body, but it's going to be absolutely perfect. So think of it like this. No pain, no sickness, no aches, no aging, no more need for beauty products, no need to try to have a weight loss program, no need for medications, definitely no need for a chiropractor. So we're going to have something that if you can even just wrap your mind around it, it's, you know, we see these movies with superheroes, you know, Captain America, Batman, all that, you know, there are these superpowered beings. And I mean, all of these things that the kids expose themselves to and they want to be, you know, like Superman. I mean, it's not even going to come close to what we're going to get with the new body. And if we could all just stop right there and that's the only thing we got out of it, I think we would all agree in a split second, yep, I'll take it. If that's all we get when He comes back as a new body that's eternal, doesn't age, works, you know, it would work for every one of us. We'd be so blessed. But see, that's just it. It doesn't stop there. So we get a new body, then what happens next? Well, let's take a look. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So not only do we get that, but now we get to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And for the believer, when someone becomes born again, the judgment seat of Christ is not a place where we're going to go for God to remind us of all of our bad things that we've ever done or our mistakes. No, this is a special place that we get to go to receive the things from God regarding what we did for Him once we got born again. And see, God is a great giving God, as we know. He wants to reward us. He wants to bless us. And so everything we do for God He's taking record of it. And, you know, people will stake their lives on, say, for instance, an Olympian athlete. They'll stake their lives on getting a gold medal or, you know, even a silver medal. You know, actors and actresses look to win an Oscar award. You know, people strive to get trophies, the Super Bowl trophies, World Series trophies. And the thing of it is those will all fade away. They will all vanish. No matter how many someone gets and how great they might seem, it's not going to last. But the rewards that God gives us, those are going to last forever. See? So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So when we're born again, we now have that foundation of Christ in us, that Holy Spirit. And the way we live our lives, that's the building process. what we do with the gifts that God gives us, that's the building process. Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. So God's going to view the things that we do for him on the levels of gold, silver, and precious stones. And each one of us has been given gifts by God, and if we use them to serve in the body of Christ, then the way we use those gifts and the way we serve, God is going to measure those, you know, by those, that value system. Now, we all are going to have wood, hay, and stubble. Why is wood, hay, and stubble in there? Because those are going to be things that are going to be burned up. It's going to be basically forgotten. And, you know, God is going to not hold those things against us because we've been forgiven. But if we don't do anything with our lives and with the gifts God's given us, then God doesn't really have anything to put those standards up against. So that's why every little thing each day, regardless of the circumstances, every little thing, every big thing that we do for God, he's putting it in the reward box. See? And that's what we have to remember, is that our lives, our citizenship is in heaven, and our lives are now based on what we do for God. See? So let's keep reading on. Let's go back to verse 13. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And this isn't physical fire. This is just a figurative fire, just the testing of the judgment. Verse 14, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation, Jesus Christ, survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. We have to keep in mind that God knows each and every one of us very intimately. And what he's going to reward us with, I mean, he knows our hearts even more than we know. And I would be very confident to say that whatever rewards he's going to give us are going to be unique, special, and individual to each and every one of us. And that's just the nature of our God. He blesses us. You know, if he blesses us and gives us good things in the here and now, which he does, just imagine, just like the song, I can only imagine. I mean, really, if you just take a minute to think about how blessed we're going to be, it's really mind-blowing. It really is. So we get the new body. We get rewards. So, hey, that's great. I'm happy if it stops there. But guess what? Nope, doesn't stop there. It gets even better. So from that point, we're going to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be with him as the armies of heaven. There's going to be a great battle called the Battle of Armageddon, and that's where Jesus is going to take the Antichrist and the false prophet, and they're going to get thrown into the lake of fire. The devil is going to get thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then we now have what's called the millennial kingdom. And this is where there's not going to be a vote for a new president in any country. There's not going to be bickering about Democrat or Republican, things like that, right? Jesus is going to be the president. He's going to be the head honcho. And guess what? We get to rule with him. Now, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible is Revelation 20. Because some interesting nuggets in this if you really pay close attention. And I'll explain it here as we read. So we're going to start in Revelation 20, verse 4. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or their hands. That's talking about the saints that are going to make it through the, you know, the tribulation times, not take the mark of the beast. But let's talk about that first part of the verse where it says, there were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Are they talking about angels? No. They're talking about saints, the believers, and whoever God has appointed to be in those positions to judge and rule with Christ will be in those positions. But the bottom line is that we will all be there at that time with these new immortal bodies with rewards. But let's see how this continues to play out, because it's pretty interesting. Let's see. We're going to pick it back up here in the rest of the verse where it says, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. Now, keep in mind, during this time, this millennial kingdom, the earth is going to be going through a complete restructuring. It's going to become more beautiful. There's not going to be any pollution, weapons of war. The animals are going to be in harmony. You're going to see a lion, as it says in Isaiah, with the lamb. A young child can pick up a deadly snake and not get bit. I mean, it's going to be something like we've never experienced, probably beyond even our comprehension. But we get to be here ruling during this time with Jesus, and it's going to be, quite amazing. And it's going to be believers. Now, here's the interesting part, and this is one of the nuggets that if you pay close attention when you read, it really enlightens us regarding this time. Verse 7, we're going to pick it up in verse 7. It says, when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, I believe that's referring to double spirits, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. Wait a minute, gather who? Other Christians? No, no, no. This is talking about human beings that are mortal. Now, see, keep in mind that we are immortal at this point. We're not going to age. But during that 1,000 years, we're going to be living with just regular mortal human beings. And see, when we rule with Christ, we are going to be ruling over just regular people, people that can still choose to sin or not sin. And see, that's like something almost out of a science fiction movie, but it's awesome. It's really going to happen. And here we are. We're going to be living in this, basically this earth, in a remodeling stage, with regular human beings that are going to have to go to the grocery store and eat food and go to sleep and just regular life. We're going to be living amongst them. And that's really, when you think about it, it's pretty mind-blowing. So it says that they marched, verse 9, they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, but fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So from that point on, evil will not exist whatsoever in the world. So, we could just call it a day there and say, okay, well, that's great. We got rid of whatever was left of the ability to have the sin nature, and we can remain in bliss. But it doesn't stop there. There's more to come. It gets even better. So from that point, there's going to be a great judgment on all the unbelievers, and we'll be part of that, and the unbelievers will be judged on their works, and they will be cast into the lake of fire, you know, or not, based on their works. But for us, this is the culmination of it all. You'd think in your mind, wow, that's just, all of this is so fantastic, but this is the final climax. So if this was a movie, you know, God is the producer, he's the director, he's the screenwriter, he's all of it. And so this is the final scene right here. So we're going to go to Revelation 21, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" So not only do we get all those other things prior to this, but now we get a new heaven and a new earth. And believe me, it's going to be something that, I mean, absolutely mind-blowing. The Apostle Paul caught a glimpse of it in a vision, and he said he couldn't even describe it in words. It was that amazing. See? But then, on top of that, God is going to dwell with us. Our God, our Father, is going to be right there. And guess what? We can go climb up on his lap. We can hang out with him face to face. And it's going to be a tremendous time. Verse 3. Let's carry on. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" No more anxiety, no more heartaches, no more pain, no more suffering. I mean, it's going to be gone. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, just the simple fact that God gives us eternal life and that we get to hang with him, I mean, that in itself is just mind-blowing. But the fact that we now get to hang out with him face-to-face and we get to be with him, I mean, it's just, it's really, if we let it sink deep into our hearts, it's not only very touching and moving, but it's something that really can allow us to stay calm amongst the storm and just remember that our future is certain. And we don't have to give in to the anxieties and to the fears that we see around us. You know, it's one of those things where a lot of people are lost. You know, there's a lot of people that believe, you know, one day they're going to live on another planet and a spaceship is going to come, you know, pick them up. I actually, as a kid, I worked at Farrell's Restaurant and I had a manager who really believed he was Jesse James in another life. And, you know, we thought it was funny back then as kids, but it's heartbreaking, you know, now as, you know, as a believer, because people believe these things, and, you know, and they, you know, he thought he was going to go to another planet, you know, from a spaceship. And, you know, we, as we heard in the manifestations, you know, we have what people want. You know, we have a future that has an expected end, you know, and it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him." I mean, it's going to be so amazing that we don't deserve it. You know, we all know that. But because God is so good, He gives that to us. And so let's just remember that hope of the return, but it doesn't stop there. We get a new body. We get rewards. We get to rule with Christ for 1,000 years amongst mortal people. And we get to be with God in the new heaven and the new earth. And it's going to be for all eternity. Amen? Amen. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we could spend together tonight being reminded of your truths about our future, that we can count on your words and your truth to hold us firmly amongst the things that go on around us, and that we don't have to be anxious or fearful, but that, Father, we can know that not only do you have our back now in this day and time, but that you hold our future in the palm of your hand. And I thank you for these wonderful things, these wonderful truths, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.